Welcome to another Scientology Fair Game, the podcast. I'm Mikey.
Hi, Lily. How's things out there today?
Not bad.
Not bad? That sounds like a bit of a bullshit answer.
Well, no, I was actually going to say that's pretty positive for me.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. That's why I said it sounds like a bit of a bullshit answer.
Listen, I want to tell you guys, well, first we should introduce our guest, but I want to tell you a little bit about why I said, you know, not bad. Okay, let's introduce, not our guest, our family.
Hi, Claire. We have Claire Headley with us today. And honestly, you know this, Leah, and Claire knows this. She is perhaps my favorite person or one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. So We're really happy to have Claire with us today.
I love you both. Thank you for having me back.
Claire, why don't you tell us just quickly, those who haven't watched The Aftermath, but for those who haven't, you can see Claire Headley's episode on The Aftermath, and Mike will put up that episode on his blog. But Claire, why don't you explain who you are very quickly and who you were in the Sea Org?
Yes. So I was born into Scientology, spent the first 30 years of my life. From birth to 30 in Scientology, and in the Sea Org from 16 to 30, 8 years of those were spent in Religious Technology Center, where I rose to being quote unquote number three in command under Marty Rathbun, and working very closely, unfortunately, with David Miscavige for many years.
The leader of Scientology. And when she says RTC, like Claire said, that is David Miscavige's personal organization. And
correct.
Those executives that worked in RTC are seen as the highest ranking Scientology officials in all of Scientology, of which Mike was part of, Claire, Marty Rathbun, as you mentioned. Marty left the Sea Org, spoke out against Scientology and David Miscavige, and is now back in Scientology, full-time work, doing hate videos, comical videos, I would say, for Scientology.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, anyway. Laughable, actually, because of his extensive history of...
Criminal.
Out. And
history,
now...
by the way. Self-admitted.
Reversing himself. Yes, I know, yeah. Exactly. It's
and if you want to see what the Church of Scientology said about Marty Rathbun, just look up his hate website, which is weird that they still have it up.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. They probably just were like, no, we can't take it. That'd be too crazy.
It would be too obvious.
It would be too obvious.
They've converted him. Yes.
But
exactly.
Guess what? Scientology, geniuses. It's too fucking obvious.
It is so obvious. It's so obvious. It's pitiful.
Right. Now, Claire, like I said, you appeared on our show, but also your husband, Mark Headley, who you stayed with after leaving the Sea Org, which I think is amazing, and have a beautiful family now. Wrote a book called Blown for Good, if you guys want to pick that up. All right, but Mike, what I was going to say at the beginning was...
Yes.
Naturally, I've been doing some, you know, studying. I'm a student of NYU, everyone.
Yes, ma'am.
But I've been doing some study, and through my therapy, you know, learning things about the brain, things we've never learned. You know, we never learned depression. We never learned anything in the mental health department. Like, never. That's not even a thing in Scientology, even though they claim to be... the leader's mental health, whatever. And I was reading things about why the brain is, why I'm apt to be so negative. So again, I thought I was special. Not so much. Your brain is set up to hold on to negative things because of the fight or flight in your brain. But over time, we don't need that. We don't need that adrenaline to save our lives literally every minute, every time we get upset, every time. But the brain is a self-protecting mechanism. And so that is why it holds on to the negativity more than the positive, because your brain is searching and like looking for dangerous, what's dangerous to you today. We're going to protect you. I'm going to protect you. Are you getting the concept of this?
Yes.
Yes, totally.
Like a reactive mind.
No, it isn't.
No. I want to add one thing though.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about this literally this morning. I was going, I wonder if it's because I was born and raised in Scientology that when something happens, I instantly jump to the worst, absolute worst possible conclusion.
Right.
And then I have to kind of talk myself off the ledge to go, no, just find out what happened. I'm sure you're jumping to the terrible conclusion.
Correct. Right. Now, the problem is because we have that, right, this is a science of the mind, and you guys could look this up. But it talks about like the 5-to-1 ratio in relationships, that for every negative, you give 5 positives to offset this negativity in relationships, blah, 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 right? And the problem with Scientology and cults like it is that this is already going on. So unless from birth you're teaching your kids, okay, but find the positive. Okay, let's live in this positive moment. Don't you love this ice cream? Isn't this ice cream amazing? I want you to look around. Look how pretty the trees are. Really, let's really enjoy this park day. Let's, you know, your brain is apt to go to the other way. Danger, danger, danger. The problem with Scientology is that it exacerbates this. And it is so hard to undo. So you're partially right, Clara. Like, not partially right. You're right about it being Scientology because you were never taught to think positively. You were taught to hate everybody, as I was. Hate the world. Yes. Hate everybody who isn't us. Everybody means you harm. Everybody is dangerous to you. And so that part of the brain is really, really matured in that way.
Yes.
And so that's why we have to offset. So when I, so long story, longer, Mike, that's why I said, not bad, because I'm trying to offset my inclination to be like, I suck as a daughter. I suck as a mother. I should have got a Christmas tree. I should get 2 Christmases. I should have maybe got this for Thanksgiving. I should have maybe got this table set. Maybe I should have gotten those things from Pottery Barn, like when I saw them. You know, like.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Absolutely.
Well, that's very good, Leah.
Now I'm back to being in a bad mood.
That's excellent.
I hate everything. It doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
Because now we're talking about this. All right. So, So the reason why we're talking about this, and just to bring, let's bring everybody up to date about what's happening, has been happening in the courts, Mike and Claire.
Okay. We're going to talk today about Scientology, quote unquote, arbitration. Those two words just don't go together.
Correct.
But Scientology has convinced people that there is such a thing as Scientology arbitration. And this is has come to the forefront in every legal case that has been filed, both the victims of Danny Masterson's civil suit, Valerie's civil suit, the Garcia case. Scientology has walked into court and said, you can't bring a lawsuit here because these people signed a contract with us that said that they will engage in arbitration. And the arbitration is quote unquote Scientology religious arbitration. And as any Scientologist knows, there is actually no such thing. But there is a contract that people sign that says that they will agree to Scientology religious arbitration. Because people sign these contracts as a condition of being able to participate in Scientology services.
Right.
So it's sort of you sign dozens of these things. Every time you start a course, every time you start auditing, you're expected to sign one of these forms. They're big, long, small print forms that contain all sorts of language.
By the way, not allowed to have a lawyer look at, and you're really not even encouraged to read it.
No, not at all.
Yes.
This is hurry up and sign so that we can get you money.
And if you ask a question, they literally start putting you into an interrogation room going, why are you asking these questions? Are you threatening Scientology with legal suit? Why would you want to have it looked at? Right?
Yes, yep. Exactly.
I don't think I've actually ever met somebody who did read the entirety of it when they were in Scientology.
Correct. At one time,
it's almost like that's almost even part of the questioning. Like, well, why would you want to read it in its entirety? Why would
you don't
not
trust
just
us?
Sign it?
You have doubts about Scientology's leadership. You have doubts about our intentions towards you. You
the
have
enemy.
Doubts that you're exactly.
Yeah.
You're an enemy. You're bordering. You've taken on the color of an enemy.
An enemy. Right. And so to avoid that, parishioners and CERC members alike, just sign it.
Correct.
You're
not ready to challenge our so-called church. So we just sign it. We just sign it.
Right.
And we've signed it 1,000 times over.
Yes.
Okay.
But the reason that we were talking to Claire and why we wanted to have this discussion is Scientology then walked into court when the court said, when the Garcias actually said, well, wait a minute, we don't know what this religious arbitration is. What the hell is this? We'd never heard of such a thing. Mm-hmm. So Scientology walked into court and said, well, we have made a determination that the religious arbitration is done pursuant to the Hubbard policy letters on conducting of a committee of evidence. And anybody who has been in Scientology that knows what a committee of evidence is, and we're going to go through this in some detail, knows that that is so far removed from the concept of a neutral arbitration, it isn't funny.
Right.
And Claire happened to be in a position where, because of her role in the organization, she had the authority to convene a committee of evidence. And I had the authority to convene a committee of evidence when I was a member of the Watchdog Committee and as the commanding officer of the Office of Special Affairs. And I have convened many COMEVs, and Claire has convened many COMEVs. We have also been what's called interested parties, or at least I have been the interested party in many COMEVs.
More accurately named guilty as charged.
Exactly. And to anybody that understands what a committee of evidence is, the absolute chutzpah of Scientology walking into court and saying, our committee of evidence is a religious arbitration, is a neutral arbitration, is just absurd. It's so ridiculous that it's like, what the fuck are you people
actually
talking about?
Actually, I think it's brilliant on the side of Scientology. What I think, who has balls to call themselves an intelligent judge, is them who are falling for the Scientology charade in the courts. And listen, and like you said many times, Mike, the court is overloaded, so they prefer things to, you know, in a perfect world, yes, we'd all be in arbitration, not fighting it out in the courts and wasting time and wasting resources on our petty, you know, arguments with each other and business disputes and all this stuff, right? But this is not an Scientology does not have an arbitration. And this farce being carried on and accepted by judges is what is so crazy making. And journalists, even people that I like, write arbitration. I go, put it in quotes, don't put it in fucking quotes. Stop using the fucking word. There is no such thing. And when you stop writing arbitration with Scientology, maybe we'll get somewhere. And so We're trying to, listen, if you, anybody out there has friends, cousins, an uncle who is in the court system, who is a judge, please have them listen to this. I don't know how else to communicate to people, Mike, that there is no such fucking thing.
Right.
Other than this. Let's talk about what a COMEV is, shall we, for a second?
Yes. Yes. I'll let Claire do a little talking here because I've been yakking.
I'm going to set it up and then you have at it because I want to ask you some questions about the actual. So now Scientology has these big red and green books. Everybody could have access to them. They're actually not so hard to find. But this is called OEC, Organization Executive Course, HCO Division, which is just bullshit jargon for Scientology administrative nonsense. Anyway, this particular book, and there's how many of these, Mike? Like the green vowels.
There's, hold on.
Claire.
There's 7, 8, 12.
12.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm looking at page 1077. 1,077. Like, that's how big these books are, okay? And this is how Scientology management is run. So if anybody ever wanted to know about that, specifically anybody going up against Scientology should have access to these books, which, again, contact us. We have the books. All right. This is called Ethics Review. Mike and Claire, you guys know, you're familiar with this.
Yes,
definitely.
Ethics Review is, justice actions, right, Mike, Claire?
Yes.
Yep.
It gives the series of steps that go increasingly bad down the list of Scientology stuff that can happen to you.
Right. So if you get in trouble in Scientology, whether you're a Scientologist or a Seward member, this would apply. Like, all the policies apply, Seward members mainly.
Correct.
To all.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So let me just read to you. So on page 745 is a, and you could put this on the blog, Mike. COMEV, Committee of Evidence. A Committee of Evidence is considered the most severe form of ethics action. So it is like a court martial, would you say?
Yes.
Yes.
It is like that. Yeah.
Yes.
The most severe action Scientology will take against its own. Says it right here. Okay. Yep. One must not be idly threatened or requested. Only a COMEV can recommend suspension or remove certificates or awards or memberships or recommend dismissal. So just to show you how severe a committee of evidence is. So far, anybody who is familiar with arbitration, does this sound fucking remotely like a impartial action, Mike, Claire?
Nope, it's definitely not. It is it is the mechanism by which somebody could theoretically be expelled from Scientology or assigned to the Rehabilitation Project Force or declared a suppressive person. It is absolutely, like you said, court martial or worse, even maybe right. even like awaiting, you know, in a prison cell awaiting, you know, your final.
You are already guilty when you show up to, if you've been COMEV'd, which is the way, you know, that's how we use it. If you are being COMEV'd, everybody looks at like you fucking lowest form of life that you're being COMEV'd.
Yes.
It is severe. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to say, yeah, when you're called before a committee of evidence, there's an issue that's put out on you to everybody. And in that issue where it says you are now being called before a committee of evidence, it details the high crimes and crimes and suppressive acts that you are charged with for the committee of evidence to review and decide if you are guilty or not guilty of those severe, highest level of crimes considered in Scientology. It's always includes high crimes, suppressive acts, crimes, a whole listing of the things you're accused of.
And Mike, if you can put up the Scientology high crimes and suppressive acts within this conversation, so people understand, a high crime in Scientology is departing Scientology publicly, for which you get put on an enemy list. No one can talk to you in Scientology, and, you know, a crime is just a crime. You just got to report that to, you know, your Church of Scientology, you know, rape or anything like that. But a high crime in Scientology, publicly departing Scientology or reporting any illegal activity to civil authorities. Interesting?
Correct.
I mean, it's fucking crazy.
Let me just say something, Leah, just following up what Claire said. There is another policy letter that Hubbard wrote, and I'm going to quote from this because gives you the flavor of a committee. It says, Committee of Evidence. A committee of evidence is convened on the subject of a known crime or high crime as it has come to be looked on and is a trial by jury, there being a charge.
Now, wait, is that what an arbitration is, Mike? You're found guilty?
Yeah, enough of the sarcasm there.
Everything that we discussed today will come to the conclusion that there is no such thing as arbitration in Scientology.
Right.
There never was. There is not.
Never will be.
It's a fabricated illusion that their Scientology lawyers have devised to cover their asses.
Right. Now, levels of ethics actions in the same policy letter. It says ethics actions in degree of severity are as follows. It goes from number 1 to 36, okay? Do you want to know where a committee of evidence is? Like number 34?
Yeah.
And then the end of it is expulsion from Scientology. The above is a rough guide to the severity of discipline, and it is insane. Now, So that's how severe a committee of evidence is that they're proposing is an impartial committee of arbitration.
Right. Yes.
So now we get to page 924 in this HCO policy letter of 7 September 1963, Mike, Scientology. 5, justice. Committees of evidence, Scientology, jurisprudence, administration of. Interesting to note, in parentheses underneath the heading, guys, this system is for use in all matters of justice in Scientology.
And that was what they used to tell the court, see, this is what it says. It says that this is used in all matters of justice in Scientology. And if you start quibbling about, well, wait a minute, arbitration isn't justice. Justice is meeting out of penalties for crimes that you have committed. Oh, right. Well, no, that's not how we define it. And you're not allowed to pry into how we define our own religious beliefs because that's a violation of the First Amendment. You can't entangle yourself in our religious practices and policies. So you just have to shut up and listen to what we tell you it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where this goes completely and utterly bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Because here is the reality is that Scientology is walking into court and saying, judge, court, you must enforce this secular agreement. These people have signed a contract, and you are required to enforce that contract because that's what a contract is. It's enforceable by a court. And then the court says, well, how am I supposed to understand what this contract actually means?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll tell you what it means. Well, how do I know that that's true? Well, you just have to take our word for it because you can't second guess it anyway because it's all our religious practices.
Right.
And it is this catch 22. I mean, Joseph Heller couldn't have written the script for this better than the way that Scientology has manipulated the courts into believing the bullshit. And there's an even bigger issue of the lack of neutrality of this quote-unquote committee of evidence, which is the concept of an arbitration is that two sides come together and there is one or a panel of people who are neutral that make a decision about who's right and who's wrong in whatever their dispute is. That's the fundamental principle of what an arbitration is. A Scientology committee of evidence is no such thing. There is a thing called a convening authority in Scientology. And that is the person who has the authority to bring a committee of evidence or charge someone with crimes and high crimes in a committee of evidence. That convening authority has total authority to accept, reject, disband, that the findings of a committee of evidence are not valid until it has been signed off by the convening authority. So in the case of this, quote, religious arbitration, the convening authority is said to be the International Justice Chief of Scientology. That's this humanoid called Mike Ellis. And he is just a large mouthpiece. He doesn't make any decisions about anything. He just does what he's told. But the convening authority, Mike Ellis, has the authority to say, oh, I don't like what you guys did. I'm not approving it. Or I'm changing what you did. I'm going to change the findings that you made. I'm going to make it lesser. You decided to award someone $100,000, I'm just going to decide to make that a smaller award. I'm going to make it a $20,000 award. And these people that sit on these committees of evidence sit on them under the threat that if they don't, and here is another policy by Hubbard, if the convening authority decides that the committee is not energetic in its activities, slack and negligent or biased, prone to overlook actual guilt, seem to be condoning crimes of a high nature, the convening authority may cause the committee members, each one, to undergo examination for crimes of a similar nature at the hands of a newly appointed officer. So,
and when we're saying crimes, everybody, we don't mean real crimes. Like, I mean, yes, no. We're talking of crimes against Scientology.
Right.
Crimes according to Scientology, which right. does not include physical, mental, sexual abuse, by the way. I don't want anybody to get the idea that this is like, hey, you have to be just and right, or you know, we're getting rid of you. This is like, if you have any sympathy for the person who's being charged with a high crime of, yes, I did go to the FBI with what I saw in Scientology, they will investigate you and say, well, you're not the right person.
Yeah, and you'll be investigated for perhaps being an FBI agent.
I just want to go over one more thing with you guys, and then I literally want you and Claire to talk, or more so Claire.
Okay.
Just a few for those, you know, people in law enforcement and in our judicial system, if you think Scientology has any fucking respect for you, this is just one of, I could keep you awake. But like, it would be years if I put together a list of actual writings of anti-government, anti-American, anti-democracy of L. Ron Hubbard. Like, it's insane, right? Guys, like, yeah. Mike,
it is insane.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's no respect for the law. As a matter of fact, Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard use a term called WOG law, meaning, you know, law that is not our law. That, you know, it's the WOG law, real laws are shit and beneath us. We're superior. We have our own law. So we don't subscribe to WOG law. Am I exaggerating?
Nope. Not okay. One bit.
So this is on page 939, Mike, the justice of Scientology, its use and purpose being a Scientologist. And you might want to put this up, Mike, but it says, if we have a superior law code and legal system, which gives real justice to people, we will simply flow easily over the society and everyone will win. Where we fail to apply our own administration, technology and justice procedures to the society around us, let alone Scientology, we will fail. Then he goes on to say, don't react to Scientology justice as though it were WOG law. In society's, this is in quotes, courts, one is given the works and the truth, and truth has little bearing on the findings. A mean judge or clever attorney and small legal errors decide a lot in their cases. WOG courts are like throwing dice. There is huge cost and publicity and punishment galore, even for the innocent. So we must preserve our own justice and use it. That's the main lesson. If we don't use it in all questions where the truth of the matter is in doubt, we'll just go on being WOGs. Could you imagine?
Yes. I'll put that one on there. I'm also going to put another one called New Hope for Justice, which is even more outrageous, where he says courts, judges, the FBI, police, they're all the people that promote criminality.
Yes. And again, they are getting away with today, walking into the court saying, judge, we just want them to go to arbitration. And the judge is like, okay.
Sounds good.
Like, there is such a fucking thing. Now, Claire.
Right. Yes.
You have administered or been the big boss on these committees of evidences. I want to give everybody a real example. Mike, feel free to chime in. I am in Scientology. Let's say I am in Scientology. I am going on the internet, looking at the truth about Scientology. I have filed a missing persons report on a friend that I haven't seen in Scientology. And I have a committee of evidence. Now, you guys see these things on my paper. It's already adjudicated that I have done these things.
Yes.
Here's a proof. Here's a police report filed by Leah Remini with her friend Shelley, for her friend Shelley Miscavige, that she hasn't seen. Here she is talking to this... what are you, Mike? A baby shaker, wife beater?
Yeah, and a bitter defrocked apostate on the fringes of the internet.
Oh, Mike, that makes me laugh every time you say it.
Like I said, I've got that right. I'm putting that after my name. B D F-A-F-I. Bit of foffy. Some people say PhD. I say Mike Rinda. Bit of foffy.
Oh, that's a good one.
So what happens, Claire and Mike? Take me through this impartial arbitration of Scientology.
Yeah, so the step one is the committee of evidence is convened, meaning the convening authority, or, you know, whether it be Mike or myself, we will put out a notification to all Scientologists that you are now being called before a committee of evidence, and you're being charged with the following suppressive acts, high crimes, like, for example, the you're violating KSW, keeping Scientology working 1 to 10. You're not using Scientology to solve every single one of your life problems. You've been listening to the internet and questioning whether Scientology would possibly intend harm to Shelley Miscavige. And instead of going through Scientology channels, you've gone to the police, which is absolutely 100% violates so many policies, like you said. So first of all, this notification will be put out to everybody, your family, your friends, everybody that you know will know that you're in deep shit.
And in this thing, we'll say something like, Leah has been charged with suppressive acts, which is an evil, like, which yes. is, you know, expulsion time, right? Suppressive
yes.
acts.
And
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's important to note it's kept very general. So it will not say Leah Googled Scientology or Leah filed a missing person report on Shelley, because mm-hmm. if it were that specific, then everybody's going to go, well, where's Shelley?
I see. Wow.
Or, well, maybe I should Google what Leah Googled. You know, it won't be specific. It will be very general, just terrible, like, you know, broad, terrible acts that you've been charged with. And
so you've already let people know who might be on this committee of evidence that my church is saying I am guilty of horrible things. So
that's
you've
right.
already kind of skewed everybody's opinion that might serve on this committee
yes.
of evidence. Okay.
Yes.
That's right. So even though it's given the, you know, this name, quote unquote, of a fact finding body, that is really just a complete farce.
Mm-hmm.
The facts are already listed in your ethics file and in this committee of evidence issue that's been sent out to everybody saying you're being charged with these crimes. So there's going to be a chairman and then 4 to 7 people. There'll be a chairman, a secretary, and then members. So you will be called before 4 to 7 of your quote unquote peers. And so, for example, if it were you, they would choose people that you looked up to and respected.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't choose, you know, maybe they would try to find other celebrities, for example, mm-hmm. that you thought were on par in terms of your activity in Scientology. They need to be senior and have ethics presence with you so that you feel humiliated and put down by this entire process.
Okay.
And then they'll convene and have probably multiple meetings. They'll interview you. And also, too, I think it's important to note that when this committee of evidence is issued, every one of your friends and family is going to promptly write up tons of knowledge reports on you to report every single little thing that they think you might have been doing.
So the committee of evidence people go, you know, in charge, go actively after Scientologists, my family members, my friends, and say, we need you to write internal reports about all the fucked up things Leah might be doing. Like, Leah,
yes.
I went to the store with Leah and, you know, she bought a Christian cross, and that's not okay.
Yes.
She's clearly disaffected. Yeah.
Correct. And if they were to not write these reports at this stage of the Committee of Evidence, then they would run the risk of being added as an interested party if it was discovered that they knew something and had not reported it.
And didn't report it. Right. Yes. So right. If no one's ever seen the movie 1984, this is what this is. Anyway, so then.
Right. 100%. And just before we go on, Lee, I think that we should do a whole separate episode, which we have never done, on Scientology knowledge reports and ethics reports.
Oh, my God, Mike, my favorite report. You know, everybody should know that.
Get off into it now. Let's save it for that episode.
I just want to say one thing. There's like 27 types of reports one is to write in Scientology. One of my favorite ones was an annoyance. Literally, there's a report called an annoyance report. Annoyance report. And it simply is, it says, defined as anything that which annoys somebody. I was like, writing Angelo up, my husband, all the time.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, agreed, Mike. No, so wait, I want to ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
What is the fucking purpose of all this, first of all, of convening a committee of evidence? What is the purpose of it? What is your intention?
There's two intentions.
Okay.
One is it is intended to have an impact on the person and get them to sort of
come to
lie straight.
Get with the program.
Get with the program.
Gotcha.
Yes. There you go.
Get with the program.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
And the second thing, and Hubbard says this in a number of policies, is so that executives aren't having to mete out all the punishment on people. So that they can sort of spread the fun around to everybody else and let them decide that they're going to screw this person
over. I think what's important, what you said, Mike, is doling out the punishment. This is a punishment, everybody. This is not a fucking arbitration. This is justice action in Scientology taken against the parishioner or its employees.
The subject of known crimes and high crimes. Known crimes and high crimes. And as Claire said, there is a thing called the Bill of Particulars, and it lists down every single one of these. There may be 50 of them, and they're always in block capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Like the charges, that's what it's called. You're charged with the following crimes and high crimes. You know what the first thing you have to do when you walk into a committee of evidence?
What?
How do you plead? You have to plead guilty or not guilty to every single crime or high crime.
And in the process of doing that pleading as to whether you're saying, oh, I'm guilty or, oh, I'm not guilty. If you say I'm guilty, you have to state specifically why you're guilty.
So wait, I have a question.
Oh, and it's all recorded, by the way, of course. It's all recorded.
Of course. I have a question. So when you guys are conducting, so you're doing the reports and you're getting all the reports in, the person now appearing at the Committee of Evidence is going to assume a Scientologist, right? Because no one, you know, a WOG, you know, a non-Scientologist.
Is going to show up.
No. But what I'm saying is they're showing up. I would only show up, Mike, if I wanted to remain in Scientology, in good standing with Scientology.
Yes.
That is because, I'm pointing out, this is a Scientology justice action. Whatever findings come out of the Committee of Evidence is Scientology related. It wouldn't be like, Leah, we know you're not a Scientologist anymore. And I go, listen, guilty. Yep. Wanted to know where the fuck Shelley was. Yep. Guilty. Want to know if she's dead or alive. Yep. Talked to Mike Rinder. Yep. Went on websites. Wanted to know the fucking truth about science. Fucking guilty, 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 motherfuckers, guilty. They'd say, let's pretend that I wouldn't be kicked out. You would need to do all of these Scientology processes and activities to be back in good standing with Scientology. They wouldn't say, okay, Leah, we know you're not a Scientologist, so we want you to do anything religious at another church or whatever, volunteer at a Baptist church, Christian church, you know, like that wouldn't happen, right?
Nope. Nope. No.
Leah, we want to make it right with you. So here's Shelly. We want to show you where Shelly. Would that happen?
No.
Okay. Never. No, absolutely not.
So that's my point. These judges are suggesting that Valerie Haney, who is no longer in Scientology, be in a room with Scientologists and have them adjudicate Scientology justice to her.
Correct.
Is that insane?
It's yes. Absolutely. It's like so bonkers. It's not funny. But let's put on top of that, Leah. We're talking about this from the side of being the convening authority, which Claire and I can talk about. But
please,
there is the other side of this, which is being an interested party, which is what you're called. The victim of a committee of evidence is called the interested party. And the interested party and the activity of being called before a committee of evidence is actually traumatizing.
Yes.
It is incredibly unpleasant. Now,
give me an example, you guys. Take me through it.
I remember the first committee of evidence I ever had. It was when I was being charged. Okay, this is a long, idiotic story, but I was being charged with having had Alt-2D. And that means I had illicit sexual relations with a woman who was not my wife in the Sea Org.
Okay.
And this was because I had gone on a mission to Buffalo, New York, in the middle of a blizzard, and they didn't give me money for a hotel room. And this woman, Julie Mayo, Julie Gillespie, and I arrived at Buffalo in the middle of a blizzard at 11 o'clock at night and had $30 between us. We got a cab that cost us $5 to go to the closest hotel that we could find to where the org was that we were supposed to be going to the next morning on this mission. And a room was $24.95. And we literally had $25. So rather than sitting in the lobby, we got a room with two beds and went and slept in the two beds. Right. That resulted in me and Julie being given a committee of evidence when we got back, charged with Alt-2D, whatever all those things are about, you know, denigrating the image of Scientology and not setting a good example.
Yeah, and the facts will be mentioned about the dollar, the $30. That we had
no money or anything.
What I love is Mike, it implies that Scientology is very moral. Like, you know, one listening would be like, wow, no, they actually like don't think it's appropriate for two people who work in a church to be saying that. You would think that Scientology stands on this high moral ground.
Yes.
It's really hysterical.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you walk into a room and there's like five people sitting there staring at you who are all believe that you must have had sex with Julie Gillespie.
Uh-huh.
There is no way that you didn't, because otherwise we wouldn't be sitting here convening in this. We wouldn't be wasting our time here at this ComEv.
Right. The convening authority. Already guilty.
Is a big shot. In fact, the big shot, it was convened by the L. Ron Hubbard personal communicator, Ken Urquhart, the like next to God. So these people are like, and I'm going, not guilty, sir. Can I explain? No, we don't want to hear your. We don't want to hear your justifications. I mean, it's like that sort of, and you're thinking.
Yeah, there's nothing thinking, impartial about a committee of evidence. Like Mike says, you walk in. It's a group of hostile
leaders
that are determined to make you confess and punish you for what you've done.
Right.
Well, it says it right here. I mean, it says here, it says the condition of name and condition is in capitals, is declared upon subject in capitals by reasons of, give specific reasons one after next, etc.
Yeah.
And it says, at the request of blank title, by the order of L. Ron Hubbard, the Director of Inspections, Division 4, Department 13, is to convene the intent, the speedy conduct and conclusion of a committee of evidence. Name in capitals. The committee is convened to look into and bring findings on a matter of a possible gift type, misdemeanor, crime, high crime. Give the exact charge very briefly from the Justice Code for which the maximum penalty is. I mean, it is very specific about guilt.
Right. Yes. And you are looking at these people and they hold your very existence in their hands. In your mind, you are looking at these people.
You want to stay in Scientology. Yes.
Of course.
It is completely traumatizing because you, in the church's mind, are the epitome of evil and a piece of shit. And your group has said, these are the crimes committed by Mike. These are the crimes committed by Claire.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And literally, it is walking in guilty until proven innocent.
Now imagine,
but let's, not let, proven, let's take it, let's but take you it can't out of the prove insane. It by justification.
No, you I understand. Must not. I want to hang on for a second. Mike.
Yes.
Let's imagine that now we're talking about somebody who's a Scientologist or a CERG member like you guys. Now imagine if this was a known suppressive person declared already by Scientology to be an enemy, to be fair game. You have seen, you know these people are no longer in your church. They are considered enemies. L. Ron Hubbard and yourself believe this person should literally die, be removed from the face of the earth.
And actually, that you make a good point, because even according to Hubbard policy, such a person has no right to a committee of evidence.
Correct.
Because their only terminal is the International Justice Chief.
Mike Ellis.
Right.
So what you're saying is, Claire, Mike, that a person like me, Valerie, the Garcias, the Danny Masterson victims, all declared suppressive enemies of Scientology, we are already on the list of no contact, no talking to them. How could we go into a committee of evidence and talk to Scientologists if they're not allowed to talk to us?
Right. You absolutely
literally
can't.
Not allowed to talk to us. Yes. If I was to, and people, please understand, I'm not saying this to be funny. I really am not saying this to be funny. If I was to walk into a committee of evidence and Claire was the chairman of this committee of evidence, or Mike, and I started to talk, what would you do, Claire? Mike?
Shut you down. You wouldn't listen and be like, no, 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 no. Okay. I mean, I would not be able to listen to anything you said if I were in Scientology.
You're not allowed to actually hear the words coming. So I'd say, hi, Claire, listen, I just want you to know, Mike, these things are true, but only because, what would happen? You literally would say, stop talking?
Yes.
Correct.
In fact, this is exactly what happened when this sham proceeding happened with the Garcias.
Can you explain to our viewers, our listeners,
what happened? The Garcias ultimately were ordered, you don't have any rights to appeal things until you've gone and had your arbitration, and then we'll know whether there was anything wrong.
Yeah.
So they went and had their arbitration, and boy, was there a shitload of stuff that was wrong. So they came back to the court, and they said, look, Your Honor, this was a complete sham proceeding. They told us that we could have attorneys present, but then when we showed up, they wouldn't let the attorneys home. They said that we could put on evidence. When we showed up with evidence, the IJC was there, this impartial body run by the IJC. He was there, and he threw out a whole bunch of stuff saying it was, quote, en theta.
Okay, explain what en
theta is. En theta means, it's a Scientology term which stands for interpolated theta,
but it means bad news. Bad news, upsetting.
Upsetting stuff.
And more specifically, negativity towards Scientology.
Right.
Right.
Everything inside, anything outside of Scientology is considered en theta by Scientologists. They cannot confront a fucking thing, a tweet, a headline that's en theta.
Right.
Yes.
So they weren't allowed to present evidence. And then when Luis Garcia attempted to speak, they told him, they basically put their fingers in their ears and said, nyah, 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 in theta, in theta, in theta, we're not listening. And then started giving him a lecture about how he was a suppressive person. So this is exactly what happened.
So what happened, Mike? Did they go into the court and say, Judge, this is what happened. This is a farce. This is insane. This is a travesty of justice. Like, did they say any of these things?
All of these things.
And the judge
said, oh, I think that the law says that we're supposed to be in favor of arbitration, and this didn't meet the standards for what is required for unconscionability and blah, blah, blah. So then they appealed it. And a year ago, that was argued, and then like a week or two ago, the decision came down from the 11th Circuit Appeals Court, and two judges took the easy way that all the other courts have done and basically said, ah, well, we've looked at all the law, and the law says that unconscionability requires blood. And like all this mumbo jumbo.
What is unconscionability? What does that mean?
It's not reasonable. It's
So they were saying what happened in Scientology Committee of Evidence was reasonable.
Yes, that it met the standards described by the cases that are precedent. But realize this is the first case there has ever been that has Scientology arbitration. So they're applying all the standards of normal arbitration law to Scientology arbitration.
Because there is none.
Yeah. As we know, this is the first time in the history of the universe that there was a Scientology religious arbitration procedure. But one of the judges who... the smart one of the three.
Oh, can you please said, name him or her?
Yes, his name is Judge Rosenbaum.
Okay.
And he wrote a very extensive dissent. This is what happens in appeals courts when the person is not in the majority, but they strongly disagree with what's been said by the majority opinion. They write what's called a dissent. And his dissent is quite brilliant. Because he actually bases his decision on the facts of what happened in the Scientology quote-unquote arbitration, not the theoretical law.
Well, what were the facts, Mike?
And he says, look, the court found, first of all, he starts out his dissent by saying, you can't make up the rules as you go along. It's a basic concept of fairness, and it's one that applies to arbitration as well. And that basically sums up what he says. He says, look, the court made a determination that the church had, quote, failed to present any convincing evidence supporting this constrained contention that a committee of evidence provides the rules and procedures governing arbitration. And he goes through and he says, the court found the arbitration don't make any reference to committees of evidence. Committees of evidence makes no reference to arbitration. Right. That a committee of evidence is the rules were being made up as they went along. They said that one thing was going to happen and then something else happened. They said they could be a lawyer there. Then they said they couldn't. They said they'd accept evidence. Then they said it was in theta. Then they this, then they that. And that this, he says, look, you can't pretend that if you don't know what procedure you're entering into and the procedure is completely controlled by one of the parties who just makes it up as they go along, that's a neutral arbitration. I don't care what all the laws about the standards for arbitration are. This just can't be an arbitration as we know it. And that this sums up the problem with these courts and their treatment of Scientology. They try and apply the law that has been written for sensible things to the irrational shit of Scientology.
But you're right.
And Scientology tries to wheedle itself into mm-hmm. being positioned as we're just like everybody else.
But they are. But I wish right. I can say
not
that they're
at all.
They're,
it would have been an extremely different outcome had an actual arbitrator.
Right. Exactly.
Carried out the arbitration.
Right.
An actual arbitrator. And the other point that just strikes me as we're talking about this, let's just cut the bullshit. L. Ron Hubbard said everything about everything. This is how you shine your shoes. This is how you wash windows. This is how you maintain a car. And yet he did not advise as to what the steps of an arbitration is
right.
because there is no such fucking thing.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as an arbitration.
And
there is none.
And you're right. You guys are right. And Mike, specifically what you were referencing what the judge was speaking about, you're right. It has never been done. And yet they are trying to use precedents to make adjudications, but there is none. There are no cases because there has never been a Scientology arbitration because it doesn't exist.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And let's just be totally clear about something else, Leah. The members of a committee of evidence feel a responsibility mm-hmm. and have given a responsibility to dish out justice.
Scientology justice.
And when it comes to someone who is declared an SP, it is their religious obligation to treat the suppressive person as... Well, Hubbard said that suppressive people should... What's his exact words? I'm going to find these exact words.
You're thinking about the... Well, there's the one about leaving the door open a crack, but then there's also there's an advice where Hubbard said, if you escape from the headquarters where we worked, then you bolt the door shut and don't ever, ever let the person back in.
Yeah, but he also says that they should be treated badly, harshly,
yes,
without compassion, that providing compassion to a suppressive person is only encouraging them to be more suppressive.
Right.
That
right.
you have to actually like hit them down, beat them down, make them right. realize that they're doing bad.
Yeah.
So if you're a declared suppressive person coming before a committee of evidence,
yeah.
the members of the committee of evidence are obligated to basically stomp on you as hard as they can.
And the point of the committee of evidence, Mike and Claire, like you're saying, in regards to a suppressive person, is just to torture them. There
yes.
is no purpose in a committee of evidence to a declared enemy of Scientology. There is no, unless the person was begging for forgiveness, but again, they'd have to want to get back into the fold. And again, the findings would be Scientology processing.
Right.
You yes. have to then want to be back into the religion of Scientology to
yeah,
be
and pay,
doing a committee of evidence.
And doing amends projects, like making up the damage and paying money.
But again...
but the arbitration was to get their money back.
It's insane. It's insane. Yes. Do we have an actual findings, Mike and Claire, that we could post of an actual committee of evidence?
I'm going to look. I'm going to look and see if I can find one. There may be one somewhere.
While we're on that, let me tell you about my first committee of evidence.
Oh,
yeah. Tell us.
I was 17, mm-hmm. and it was ordered by none other than David Miscavige himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much thought my life was over. And
what were you? What were your crimes, Claire?
Well, so I was a supervisor at the mm-hmm. time for the Key to Life course, which you've talked about before. And when you're doing the Key to Life course, studying all the small common words and all that, you're not allowed to study anything other than Key to Life.
So, what was your crime, Claire?
Well, somebody was found studying the What is Scientology book in the course room.
Ugh.
That's what I did. And I
you
actually,
allowed. I just want to be clear because we're speaking Scientology jargon.
Yes,
you were ordered to a Scientology court martial because you were allowing a student to read another Scientology book while on
correct.
A Scientology.
Not
court.
Only that, and not only that, it was a book that David Miscavige ordered that they read. How's that for 7 degrees of separation?
Okay. So, Claire, anything yes. else? What are your high crimes? Was that a high crime?
Yes, because it was violation of policies and
right. But
and,
Claire,
and
what
so
were your other
I actually
crimes?
I actually said, you know, I don't think I'm guilty. I pled not guilty on some of them, on some of the charges because they were really extreme.
So you walk in, they say, Claire, you have been charged with this crime. What do you plead?
And I said, not guilty, because at 17, I thought, well, God, I'm not going to throw myself on the sword. Like, why would I shit on myself and say that I'm guilty?
Okay, so you said not guilty, and then what happened?
Yeah, and so they wouldn't accept that as an answer.
Wait a minute. They said, wait a minute, Claire.
So, well, we think you're guilty. We think you're guilty.
So again, this is not an exception. It's not an exception that they didn't accept Claire's plea. It is the rule. They have already found you guilty. Very important
yes.
that everybody understand this, because this is not
yes.
an arbitration. And again, not the exception to the rule. They want, like Mike said, what you guys have already said, they have already found you guilty. They want you to say you're guilty so that they can hand out the punishment, the Scientology punishment, and get on with it.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
That's
you
right.
need to get back to yes. your job, Claire. You need to get back to being a Scientologist, Leah, Mike. Like, we don't have time for this. Plead guilty, as we said you are, and just fucking own it and take it up the ass and let's move on.
Yes,
right?
Okay. Absolutely.
So you say not guilty. They go, no, yeah. you're guilty, Claire.
That's right. Well, David Miscavige ordered me to be brought before a committee of evidence. How could
isn't
I be
this
not guilty?
A violation of the Constitution. Mike, honestly, when the framers were framing the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, I mean, isn't this the reason for breaking with tyranny was that people had a right to a fair trial?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, couldn't this be argued in the Supreme Court, Mike, to challenge the 11th District fucking idiots? Couldn't this be challenged under that basis? Why, this is not a fair trial. This is not a fair.
No, this is a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. More accurately,
Leah. Once you get your degree in psychology or whatever it is, I think you need to get a law degree.
Okay.
I think you need to.
Are you
go,
being sarcastic? Because
like,
I'm
no.
really, I'm actually quite
no,
flattered
he's not.
Right now. Okay. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I think you need to like go get a law degree and start bringing these sort of innovative, novel, common sense ideas
that's the
that
campaign.
You come up with.
Mike, I'm going to run the common fucking sense campaign.
There you go. There you go. Let me just tell you
that.
About my last comev.
Yeah.
My last comev. Oh, I'd gotten very wise by then.
Wait. Well, let's find out what happened with Claire. So Claire, what ended up happening?
I hope I wasn't the... I was found guilty of all those crimes. Mm-hmm. luckily or unluckily, I was not declared a suppressive person.
No, but you had to make up the damage, Claire, and
yes,
Scientology.
So the findings and recommendations were I had to do 100 hours of amends outside of my,
8 a.m. to midnight job.
What do you mean, out in the community or doing volunteer
work? No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Oh. Just, doing more 100 hours of amends of making up the damage, doing like perhaps working on a construction project that was
In Scientology. Okay. And then what else? What else did you have to do?
And I had to do lower conditions, which included having to ask every single person that worked at the property to let me back into the group.
Okay.
They had to sign a piece of paper saying that, yes, I had made up the damage and they would now let me back into the group. And
gotcha.
While I was in lower conditions, that's, I was not allowed to be on, get 8 hours sleep. I wasn't allowed to talk to Mark. I wasn't allowed dining privileges, any of that kind of stuff. So
now, when you say dining privileges, to me, that's probably the best thing that ever happened to you, Claire, but I don't want anybody to get the idea that like Scientology gives, because you were an executive or high ranking Scientologist, that you were given like a credit card and you had special executive dining rooms. You're talking about like rice and beans and shit food. Yes. At the galley. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. No, I wasn't allowed. So you weren't allowed to eat. Right. Yes.
Which again, Mike, I could pretty much bet this is not within the legal system of America.
Yes.
To deprive people of sleep and food and talking to their husbands or wives.
Yes. Absolutely.
Start your application for Harvard Law, Leah.
Okay.
Yes.
You want to know something fucked up? Can I just say a little aside? Can I just tell you something that's just fucked up a little bit that's happening to me right now?
Yeah.
So, you know, I applied to and got into NYU, right?
Yeah.
And there's all of these kind of prerequisites to registry once you're accepted, right? So you have to register correctly, and there's these things you have to do. And, you know, by the way, maneuvering the website, they should give out like something for that, just a basic, you know, associate's degree. Just give a basic degree just for managing the websites. Literally had to hire a tutor. Get me through the fucking web. Do I go here to read? Where's my homework? Where's my assignment? Okay, anyway. So I have to go through, you know, drug and alcohol. And I'm like, oh, I told my advisor, I go, you know, I've already kind of been through that and fucking 50, you know. No, you have to do it. Okay, sure. So I learned all about, like, I learned some cool things, right? So I'm looking at this now as like, what is my daughter going to be learning, right? Mm-hmm. And this is good information, you know, about, it's like a sex ed. It's also like about drinking and what it does to your body and what, you know, the percentage of alcohol in relation to your body weight and all that, okay? And I'm doing the registry and I'm like, do I really, and there's tests. You know, like, watch this scenario. What would you do about bullying? You know, it's pretty amazing. Like, so it is good when I realize, like, this is what Sophia's going to be hearing. Because God knows, you know, you can't parent your kid once they turn 13. Nothing you say is worth anything.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, I've already started classes. I'm getting A's. I'm doing well. It's not easy. Have to tell you, not easy, right? But it's really rewarding. I get an email that says, you're not really registered 100% here correctly, and you won't be able to see your next classes unless you're correctly registered here. And I'm like, well, what's the missing element? Like, what do I got? It is the fact that I haven't satisfied them with my high school diploma. The problem is that it is a Scientology business, that when I was a Scientologist, I went to this place called the Denison Academy, which is a Scientology run, I don't even know what you call it. What is the Denison Academy? I mean, they prepare
never
children.
Never heard of it.
Larry Denison. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. What is it? What does he do, Claire? Because
he was a non, I don't even think he had a teacher
license.
Teacher, yeah, certifications. But they would have people study for the
GED.
California High School Proficiency Exam. Right. I don't even think the GED, one step lower than that was the California High School Proficiency Exam, but he would give out the certifications himself.
Right. Which I have.
Yep.
And I gave them that thinking, because that's all I have. I literally only have this certificate. And I sent that to them and I said, I don't have anything else. They said, well, where are your transcripts? And I'm like, I don't even know. That I don't know. And so they said, well, you need to email them. And I was like, okay. They're not allowed to talk to me. They're not going to respond to that. You know, then they said, well, go to the Board of Education, have them email. I was like, okay, they're not going to answer the President of the United States. Like, let's cut to the chase. Scientology thinks, you know, I am a evil person, that I don't deserve any help. And so this is kind of holding up my future there. So right now, like, I'm sitting in this, Mike, like, it's so heartbreaking. Like, when I read that email, I was like, I don't think you understand what I'm up against. Like, I'm not going to get an answer. I'm not going to be able to provide
the way, there's many people that have had that same situation with the Denison Academy. Yeah.
Yeah, they will not respond to anything to about anyone. Nope. I mean, even if they're demanded to by court, they won't. They will not.
Correct. That's right.
And Claire and Mike, I honestly don't even believe it actually exists, like the transcript. I think we were all kind of taught how to take the test, not actually, you know what I mean? Like we didn't, I don't think we actually met any, you know, education, like a requirement of it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Did we read this? Did we do this math? Did we cover the basics? Like, I don't think we even did that. I think it was literally a place that's designed to make you pass the test.
Yes, and give you a piece of paper that had no actual bearing in terms of real world education.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you how far like they affect you, right? How far yes. your life is affected yep. after many years of leaving, and you know, like we're talking about commas, we're talking about committee of evidences. You know, here are people, the people that we're talking about when we're talking about Valerie Haney, the Garcias. You know, these are people who are trying to actually accomplish something in the courts for people after them, not yes. necessarily for themselves, because there is really not a whole lot to gain in these cases.
Correct.
But there is, it really is for a noble reason that they continue to fight, because the Garcias have been in this shit for how many fucking years? They could have given up, because look, they're not in it for the money, because if they were in it for the money, this is not a case that's being taken on by the state. This is a case that they have to finance themselves. They're right. losing money every day. You know, like right. by being involved, they could have given up. The same with you guys when you had your lawsuits. You
yes.
had the Church of Scientology ended up coming after you guys for $50,000.
Yes.
You know, and you hadn't even made $50,000 in the fucking 25 years you were in Scientology. You know, so
right.
it's so insane. And I don't know how to end this other than to say, please look at these documents, guys. Please know what you're talking about. And to the what is his name? Rosenbaum?
Yes, Mike? Rosenbaum.
And to Rosenbaum in the 11th District Appellate
11th
Court.
11th Circuit Court of Appeals.
Thank you. I mean, yes. thank you for being the
I,
only
I appreciate
person.
That he, yeah, exactly. The only person to even try to understand the sham that's going on and not
exactly,
just-
exactly. And we just need to continue to fight. And if you need any resources from us, you can always contact us. You can always find a way to get to Mike, to Claire. They have websites, they have blogs. There's ways to publicly find us. You don't need to publicly tweet us because Scientology is looking at those things. Just FYI.
Yes.
And they will start their fair gaming so that we get nowhere. So right. anything to add, guys?
No.
Oh, Mike,
no.
did you want to tell yes. the wrap-up of your comment?
Oh, it's really short.
Okay.
I learned, like, after many, many, many comments, I lost count. The
yeah.
last comment I had, I was in the hole and I got comment. I was even a suppressive person in the hole, and I got comment. And I walked in, and there they all were sitting at the conference table. And I walked in, and they had a list. And I said, I plead guilty to everything. And they said,
Mike,
what do you?
Mike chose the fall on your sword option at that point that I was
well,
trying to
what
avoid
was the
at 17.
It made absolutely no difference.
But
it
again, Mike, you make the point. This is not impartial, even when you're a group member.
And,
yes.
and they all no. looked at me and they went, you can't do that. And I said, I just did. And they said, well, don't you want to plead mitigating circumstances to anything? I said, no, why bother? It's a waste of time. Just mark
happened.
Me down. Just mark me down with a guilty plea.
What,
I'm done.
What did they say? What happened?
They just like, you can't, like that really, they got really pissed. Like
and
I wasn't
yeah,
playing
like,
the game.
Result. Yeah.
I mean, well, I got declared a suppressive person by that committee of evidence. But I was
but
already, declared,
already
a suppressive
declared a suppressive person.
So how could it get worse?
But Mike, I don't want people to get the idea that because it's tongue in cheek here, because you weren't really considered a suppressive person. David Miscavige is only doing that to abuse you, because if
correct.
You were truly declared a suppressive person like you are now, Right. Like for real declared.
I wouldn't have been the international spokesperson for Scientology. Going out to deal with the BBC and the LA Times.
Yeah, they were pretending to declare you just to stick it to you. But if you were seriously an enemy of Scientology, they wouldn't be talking to you.
Yeah. Correct. Correct.
Yeah. And on a more serious note, a comment that I just wanted to make. Mm-hmm. So, Leah, you were bringing up the declares. And if you left Scientology and now you're, let's say, a Christian or of another belief, but you're declared a suppressive person. So, therefore, your family cannot talk to you.
Right.
And have no recourse.
Yes.
That's we're immediately in a complete impasse from a Scientology perspective.
Right.
Like, let's say me. I'm not. So my family is won't talk to me. You know, I'm a declared person. The only way that I will ever be able to speak to my family again, according to Scientology, is to go back into Scientology and do what they say in their court.
Well, yeah, you would have to do A to E steps, which is what Marty Rathbun has done. And everybody, Mike, you could post the A to E steps, not to be confused with the network A&E, everybody. I want you to, Mike, if you could post the A to E steps.
Yep.
This is what a person would have to do. And then we're going to put up, again, Claire, you're right. You know, your parents can't talk.
I will never go back into Scientology.
Right.
I have no recourse with any Scientology justice. There's nothing. And according to them, the only person I can talk to is Mike Ellis. And that's only if I'm deciding I do want to go back into Scientology. Other than that, forget it. I'm done. I'm written off. Like Mike said, treat me as a piece of dirt and definitely no arbitration. There is just no such thing as arbitration in Scientology.
Right. It's called a committee of evidence, everybody. Look it up.
Yeah.
We'll put this stuff up. And like you said, Mike, you put up some justice policy. Mike, there is a reference called justice, right?
Yes.
In Scientology, I think we should put that policy up as well, because there's some really great policies that L. Ron Hubbard has written about what he thinks of our judicial system, our legal system, and good on y'all for being played, judges.
Yep.
Hopefully they will be, understand that we put them there, everybody. This is not... the Supreme Court, this is not a lifetime commitment. They could be voted out. So,
11th Circuit can't. Federal judges can't.
What?
They're like
is
the
that
Supreme
true?
Court. Yes. Federal mm-hmm. judges are appointed
oh,
for
federal
life
judges.
By
you're
the
right,
president.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. But district court judges, they can be.
That is the district court.
No,
right?
I'm
just
sorry.
So you understand.
You know what I'm saying? No, no, no. I do understand. I'm just saying the wrong
court.
Thing. Hang on. Okay. What I'm saying is state judges, state court judges can be, they are voted in and out. So, you know, I literally didn't take an interest in this until I actually saw it. You know, I was like, hey, who is this judge? Like, you know what I mean? When you get you're about, you don't really, but please, people, I need to start, and I will start looking at their history.
Yes.
And what you're passionate about doesn't have to be this, but you want to see some changes in what happens, you start looking at some of these rulings from these judges and start thinking about that when you're voting.
Yep.
Okay. Guys, absolutely. I cannot thank you enough for constantly exposing this with me, with us. I mean, Claire, you're amazing as always.
You guys are amazing. I love you both. And thank
we
you for
you.
Always continuing to fight on, because it's hard.
It is hard. Now I'm in a really bad mood.
Don't be. You're an amazing warrior, Leah.
I love you.
Keep on fighting. You're an inspiration to so many people.
Thank you, Claire. And to you, Claire. I love you.
Love
all right. Love you, Mikey.
Love you too. Love
thank
you both.
Thank you.
We'll convene again and do a knowledge reports one.
Yes.
I think that would be fun.
Yes.
Too.
My favorite thing.
Yes.
My favorite thing. Okay.
All righty.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Until next time.
Bye.